All right, wonderful.
So are you the IA lieutenant?
Yeah, I'm in charge of our Professional Standards Bureau, which actually handles our internal affairs, administrative investigations. In fact, I was already kind of aware of the phone call because we're the ones that reviewed your public records request to get that recording of that phone call.
Oh, okay.
So we were the ones that approved that and sent that to you. And then, of course, then when the chief gets complaints, he just forwards them over to me. So I got your letter.
Okay. Great.
So I've listened to the conversation on the phone, so I feel like I kind of got an understanding of, you know, of that explanation. I think the phone call was, let me see here, what was it? It was 15 minutes, so I listened to that whole thing and kind of have an understanding of what your issue is and complaint, the fact that we refused to take some kind of a criminal report from you. Is that correct?
Well, it's not just a criminal report. Mm-hmm. Although criminal activity, I believe, is definitely afoot, it also is a matter of deprivation of constitutionally protected rights, which the Constitution protects the rights to life, liberty, and property, which often show up in many penal codes, for example, right, where someone can't take your property without lawful authority, they can't use force and fear to take it, that type of thing. Yes, it may turn out to be a criminal issue because it's clear to me that a lot of California penal codes protect those rights and properties. But also, there is I think it's called the Tom Bain Civil Rights Act, and also protections that occur under the federal constitution, and kind of more specifically, just the general doctrine of separation of powers, that when one branch is usurping its role under the Constitution, that another branch has a duty to intervene. Basically, because the judiciary in this instance is acting without lawful authority, and I've gone through judicial process as well as the legislative process to get a remedy, that the executive branch also has a duty to investigate and intervene. Does that make sense?
I understand. I understand what you're saying. I disagree with, the specifics of the issue. And so, I'll just cut to the chase. And, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to take a report, investigate your complaint. Some of the issues, obviously, we don't investigate judges based upon court decisions, upon civil decisions. The place to obviously appeal or to point out the flaw in a judge's decision would be in the appellate process. So if you've already gone through that and you've voiced your concerns to the appellate court, which is multiple judges sitting on the appellate court, then and they've stood by the ruling, then unfortunately you've had your due process and you've gone through the you've had the ability to appeal and point out the error in the judge's ways and his legal decision.
It's not due process if they're not executing the process that is due, right? Just because you show up in a room that has the great seal of the state of California on it and one or three people come out wearing black robes doesn't mean that the Constitution's been followed, right? The Constitution places limits and boundaries within the scope of what judges are authorized to do. And one of those things they're forbidden from doing is taking property without lawful authority or excessively fining people and conducting prosecutions in a civil context that were intended to be taken or prosecuted by the executive power of the state.
Well, so, then the next process in your due process would be, after this appellate court, would be to appeal this to the California Supreme Court, and that would be your next step.
Been there.
Okay. So
been there, done that. So there is no court in California that I can go to for a remedy for this situation.
Then if you have a federal violation, then you could appeal it to, obviously, a higher federal authority.
Been there, done that.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that we're not the answer. We're only just a tool. We're not the tool for this issue. There are things set up for this process, for the court process? And it sounds like you've gone through every avenue, and now you're kind of going backwards to the lowest level. And, you know, I understand listening to your recording that you've contacted two other police agencies and all sorts of other agencies. But unfortunately, you know, I mean, it sounds like a terrible situation you're going through, and I have empathy for you for that. But I don't understand how it's been done.
You're characterizing yourself, characterizing what I'm doing as going backwards, or you as the police department in the city that I live in being the lowest level. I mean, as far as I understand, you have a duty, and each of your officers takes a duty to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I mean, it's verbatim language in your oath of office. So you have a sworn duty, and your officers have a sworn duty to protect and defend my rights.
I understand that, and I will gladly, it's not to say I can't open a criminal investigation against a judge. I can open up a criminal investigation against the judge if the judge has committed a crime. You're talking about a crime associated with his ruling. This is different. That is not something that we're going to open up a criminal investigation on. So if a judge goes and gets in a car wreck, DUI, of course we're going to investigate a judge. We're going to conduct a criminal investigation and follow that through. I'm not saying that judge is above the law, but what I'm saying is the judge's ruling, the way to appeal those things, there's a process set up for that, and it sounds like you've gone through that process, and you're not getting the answer that you want, unfortunately.
I'm just saying we are not the answer to that remedy. It's not a matter of the answer that I want, although it is an answer that I want. I'm just asking for what's due to me under our state and national constitutions. And in essence, what you're saying is that you are placing the judge above the law, because you're saying that anything that they do essentially on the bench when they're wearing that robe cannot be examined by another authority.
There's a presiding judge. If you think a judge has done misconduct in their court, you can speak to the presiding judge of the court. You know, in my own personal life, I've been felt like I was wronged in a court process, non-criminal, and I wrote a letter to the presiding judge, and the presiding judge responded to me, and I felt like I was heard, and like the issue that I presented would be addressed. Obviously, you know, what you're talking about is the decision of the judge. So the presiding judge can't overrule the judge. Only the appellate court can do that. Only the California Supreme Court can do that.
Right.
So again, just, you know, these other layers of the due process, again, and I mean, we're going to go around and around about this, and you obviously are very well versed on this and very educated, and I don't want to, you know, belittle you with my understanding of this circumstance. But what I'm trying to explain is our agency is not going to take a criminal investigation for this. We have accepted your complaint against Sergeant Manson, and we'll deal with that situation appropriately as we deem fit. And as far as we're concerned, although
I styled in that fashion, if you're not going to investigate mm-hmm. the issue that I'm reporting, then it's pointless for you to even begin a criminal or even begin an administrative investigation against Sergeant Manson, because the two they're like opposite sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, you'll find that he didn't do anything, he wasn't guilty of any misconduct, so to speak, because you're not actually investigating the thing that you have a duty to investigate. So that's going to be clearly unfounded. So you can drop that if you're telling me right now that what you're saying to me, are you speaking on behalf of the chief of police?
Yes.
Is in that this is the decision of the city of Costa Mesa that you are not going to investigate my complaint or intervene at all?
Yes, we're not going to take a complaint. We're not going to take a criminal report on this matter.
Okay, how about a deprivation of rights report?
We are not going to take a report regarding the instances, the issues that you're bringing up regarding investigating a duly, the due process of your court procedure in the civil court, which has gone through multiple layers of appeal.
Right. Okay. So even though the California Penal Codes clearly say, like, for example, 484, 487 says whoever they apply to judges.
It's not unlawful taking if it's done with a court order.
But if the court doesn't have authority to do that,
then the appellate court or the Supreme Court would have ruled on your behalf, and if you and your attorney argued the point correctly, they would have ruled on your behalf. If they thought that there was merit in your argument, they would have overturned the decision or sent it back down for a retrial with a different court.
That's not what has happened. What I'm saying is that's not what's happened. And so there is a clear, egregious deprivation of rights that I can give you just undeniable evidence of that has gone on, even though I have gone through all of those court processes. I hear you when you say that those processes should have worked and they should have done those things. But the reason I'm coming to you at this point is because those processes haven't worked. And when you say that the judgment was made essentially by a duly appointed judge acting with lawful authority, that's not the case, because the judge has no authority any more than a police officer does to violate the fundamental law of our state and nation. So you can't say that a judge has authority to issue a near $1 million fine when the Constitution expressly forbids that. Like, so there's basic things that before, like, as a police officer, you have certain procedures that you have to follow when you're taking someone's property or you make an arrest. Otherwise, it could be deemed an unlawful arrest and you may have not had authority to do it. Like for example, you can't pull someone over because you don't like the color shirt they're wearing. So if you did that and then fined or imprisoned them, you would be essentially guilty of false imprisonment or an unlawful seizure.
But that person can't now go to another police agency and file a criminal case against us. What that person has to do is go to court and file a federal civil action against us. And that's what you have to do. You have to use the court process to
Right, but what I'm sharing with you, mm-hmm. and I realize this is a unique situation, mm-hmm. is that process is not working for me. And so, not because my argument is BS, but because that is what is transpiring in this case right now. And so that does not, no matter what is going on in the court, we have a system of co-equal branches of government. That's why the powers were separated. So one branch acts as a check and balance on the other. And I'm not asking you to perform a judicial duty and declare that the judgment is void. What I'm asking you to do is investigate my complaint, determine from an executive standpoint, because every officer of the government has a duty to interpret the Constitution, and do so, and to, if this judgment turns out to where the sheriff shows up at my doorstep and tries to steal my home, that the Costa Mesa Police Department may be there intervening, saying, no, this is not how this is going to go. Or there's another issue that is here.
We don't even have the legal expertise to even review a civil case of this matter, nor would
you
we.
Absolutely
so,
do.
So
you
we're,
absolutely
we're gonna,
do.
Okay, so Mr. Berkey, you're not going to get the answer from me that you want, and
look,
I'm not going to convince you otherwise, unfortunately.
Look, here's the deal. I was a cop for 10 years here in Southern California. I probably have, if I were still a cop, I'd probably have the same time on that you do right now. So, granted, I have had a little bit more time studying on this exact matter, but I've taken all the legwork out of it for anyone to be able to look at the facts of the case very plainly and simply and discover whether there is a violation of a deprivation of rights.
So if it's that clear to look at, then why didn't the appellate court recognize that?
I can't tell you that. I don't know.
Why didn't the California Supreme Court recognize that this judge was acting outside his authority?
So the California Supreme Court has actually held that the judgment that was against me is penal. Okay? It is punitive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the trial judge and the appellate court justices did not follow the Supreme Court, but they have a duty to do that. when my case went to the California Supreme Court, the justices there had a duty to take my case because I did not have a full, fair, and impartial trial and appeal. But they violated their duty by not taking my case. It was not a determination on the merits of the case because they never took the case. So ordinarily, when you go to the California Supreme Court at that level, the court is assuming that you've already had a fair trial and a fair appeal, and that their taking of your case is discretionary, right? But that's not what happened in my case. Both the trial and appellate court judges completely violated the Constitution, and when the case went up to the California Supreme Court, for whatever reason, I was not privy to their decision, and they did not give a written decision other than they were not taking the case. But again, that's not a decision on the merits of the case. They have already spoken in numerous previous cases and said that this action is indeed penal. And I have a decision from the United States Supreme Court saying exactly what I'm saying in the context of a different case. So, and that negates, if you will, the determination made by the trial court judge and the appellate court judges. So my what I'm saying here is not, I'm not a lone voice in the wilderness. I have the highest court in the nation, the U.S. Supreme Court, saying what I'm saying pertaining to my case. But that's the problem. There's no remedy after going through all of the courts in California. There's no remedy. That's it. That's why I went to the legislature and said, hey, what is going on with this law? You need to do an investigation. This is highly unconstitutional. And they refused to do something about it. So now there are judgments that are being enforced upon me as a result of that judgment. One of them is that my license to act as a general contractor has been suspended indefinitely. I got no hearing. That's required that there be a judicial hearing on that. There was no hearing for that suspension. It was automatic. That's another violation of the separation of powers. So now, this judgment's illegal. My license has been suspended. Now I can't work to pay my mortgage or property taxes for the property that's held in my estate. And now the mortgage company is threatening to foreclose on the property. And I suspect that the county tax collector is on their heels as well. And so what I'm reporting is that everything that's been done to me in this case has been egregiously unconstitutional and illegal. There's no authority for any of it. And every time I go to a branch of government that says that, and I report this to them, I say over and over, I'm saying, look, here's the case law on this subject. Here it is. It's clear as day. And everyone points a finger at someone else, and no one is willing to take the responsibility to do the duty of their office to protect my rights and property. It's that simple. So I realize the situation is unique, but as a former police officer, what I can remember is that when I went to the academy, I got explicit training on protecting the constitutional rights of all people. And I don't care who it was, if someone came to me and told me that another public official or another citizen had taken their property without lawful authority, I would undoubtedly, undeniably have known that it was my duty to begin an investigation of some kind. Even if I didn't understand completely what was going on, the fact that there was something that is so egregious as a near $1 million fine would have told me that there's something seriously wrong here. Now, from a patrol perspective, where I worked most of my career, maybe my duty at that point may have just been to take a report and send it up to detectives and let them sort it out. But from a detective standpoint, where I also worked, it would have been my duty to investigate this citizen's complaint to see if there, in fact, was a criminal violation. Because even though judges are sitting on a bench and they are close with authority in the same way that police officers are, they have to stay within the bounds of the law. And we can't say just because a police officer is wearing a uniform and he's a police officer doesn't mean he can commit a criminal act. And that if I went to some other authority and made a criminal complaint, they'd absolutely have a duty to investigate that. And in the same context, if I brought a civil action, then the courts would have a duty to do that as well. But when it comes to deprivation of constitutional rights, there is no discretion by public officials. Because if you had a discretion to say, oh, well, you know, Adam, we don't want to investigate that, essentially you're overruling the Constitution. Because it says right there that you're bound to do these things. And if I'm reporting to you that the government, which you are employed, is doing something illegal, you have a duty to do something about it. Period. So I am just blown away at the fact that, you know, you guys, as well as the other agencies that I've contacted, including the courts, are so just refusing to do what is so blatantly obvious in the Constitution. So I'll leave it at that.
All right, Mr. Berkey, I apologize. I feel bad for your situation, and, you know, I hope, and I don't mean this, I'm not saying this in a snide manner. You know, it looks, you could, you know, sounds like you could start everything you've learned. You should, you know, look into going into law or in some manner in that, and I hope that this inspires you to find some, you know, possibly some new avenue to find in your life.
I actually hope to change the law, but one of the ways that I'm doing it, well, let me just clarify. I want to make certain that you have the authority of the chief of police to make this policy determination that the city of Costa Mesa is not going to investigate or intervene. You were given that authority?
Well, this isn't a policy decision. I'm just saying we are not going to. We have the discretion to take reports, to not take reports. We have discretion in our job, and I'm telling you, based upon my understanding of it, and listen to your phone calls and listen to you now, we are not going to take a criminal report regarding this issue.
Right. So, okay? So as I explained, you don't have discretion when it comes to a matter of rights violations. But if you want to, that's fine. If you want to believe that.
And again, I mean, but,
Right. That's fine if you want to disagree. But I do believe that it is a policy of the Costa Mesa Police Department not to investigate deprivation of rights complaints and complaints of suspected criminal activity by judges or other public officials acting without lawful authority.
In this specific case, yes. In the manner that you've explained, so, yes.
Yeah, that is a policy determination, and so that's what I'm clarifying with you, because that's why I sent my complaint directly to the chief of police. Because it is my understanding that he has the policy-making authority for the city of Costa Mesa as the chief of police, and so I wanted a determination from him on that issue. So that's why I asked you, have you been given that authority by the chief to make this policy determination in my case about this issue?
I'm telling you what I'm telling you from my perspective, as the lieutenant of our Professional Standards Bureau, that this is, you know, we are not going to take this report. I have accepted your complaint, which you said to go ahead and rescind, but I will do that as well.
Right, okay, but you haven't answered my question.
I've just told you, we're not, as the Costa Mesa Police Department is not going to take a criminal report in this instance.
Okay, could you please... I will accept that, although I disagree, but could you please have the chief put that in writing in an email to me?
No, we're not.
You're not going to do that?
I'm handling this via phone call. We're not going to, and, you know, again, I'll be happy to send you a letter regarding your complaint, if you'd like.
No, what I'm asking for is a determination by the chief, and so you're not going to give that to me.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I thank you for your time. What was your name again?
Lieutenant Brian Watkins, Wadkins.
Brian Watkins. Okay, thank you, Lieutenant.
All right. Bye-bye.